Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA. A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Hi, everybody. This is Carrie.
And this is Luke.
And you're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode number 47. Today is August 20th, 2011.
Although we're probably going to record this podcast over several days, so who knows when it will post exactly.
But I can tell you what day it is right now as I'm speaking.
Yes, you can. So we are currently sitting at my merch table at the Can't Stop the Serenity event here in Chicago. And I performed earlier. It went well. And it's been a great fun time here. And people have bought things. And we're giving money to charity. And hooray.
And you had a fangirl who was doting upon you that made you feel like a celebrity.
Yes, that fangirl's name is...
Allison.
Dr. Allison...
You don't say her last name. Dr. Allison.
Okay, she's Dr. Allison.
Shouldn't ask her last name to be put on a podcast.
Hi, Dr. Allison, assuming you're listening to this, which we don't know if you are, but maybe you will now.
Well, she just bought the best stuff.
See, because here's this thing. I in no way considered me to be any kind of real celebrity.
Me neither.
Yes. But every so often, people at cons will treat me that way.
Or like I used to.
They'll be like, do you do autographs for me? Do you do autographs for free? And I'm like... do I look like Patrick Stewart?
Yeah,
no.
Dr. Allison was like shocked as shit that he would do an autograph for free since she usually, she buys the MP3, she's not a physical media person.
So basically I decided to one-up her by not, because...
Where's the mic on that thing?
It's right here,
where
the little hole is.
Ah.
So because Carrie grabbed one of my orange What's Luke Plugging Now flyers and was looking for a good place to autograph it. So I'm like, hold on a second. So I pulled out my... Copic full color marker set, and I whipped up a chibi drawing of myself and Carrie on one of my white white cards, and then colored it in, and we both autographed it and gave it to her.
Yeah.
So, and while that was happening, Carrie talked her into buying a copy of the Bad Rapport 2 CD set. So.
And then I took a picture of her and Luke with her cell phone, and she kept saying how jealous her boyfriend would be, and she offered to be Luke's stalker if it would make Luke feel better about himself. But I told her that Sarah would be too scary and that it wouldn't be worth it, and that I meant that in the best possible way.
And then I did my take on the Monty Python silly Colonel bit where she's like, I'll be your stalker if it'll make you feel better. And I said, nobody loves me except for my wife and Carrie. Oh, and my dozens of friends. Come to think of it, lots of people love me, but that's beside the point.
I completely missed that was a reference. I thought that was just things that you were saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't expect you to have picked up on that specific reference, but others may have. So, anyway.
So if Dr. Allison comes back before we leave, we can tell her we talked about her.
Yes.
And then she'll have to download the latest episode.
Remember, as Shoebox said in one of the outtakes of Cirque du Soleil, buying the CD is insufficient. You must also worship us.
So anyways, I was only on stage for just a couple minutes to do my little bits of It's Fanboy Christmas 3. Other than that, I wasn't on stage, and I really wasn't here to be on stage or to help Luke. I was here because after Josh and I canceled our plans to go to Michigan and see Bill for his birthday. So, since we canceled those plans, then I'm just kind of like, wow, I have literally nothing planned for the entire weekend. This bums me out. I have the rest of my life as a parent ahead of me to not have plans on the weekends. I don't need to not have plans now.
Yeah.
So
when faced with the choice of hanging out with Luke at this gig or nothing.
Doing nothing whatsoever.
She chose me, so I am better than nothing.
I've actually been bored a good deal of the evening, but it was fun to watch Dr. Horrible on the big screen. And,
yes.
And I just ate some popcorn just now.
Yep.
It was Garrett's popcorn. Cheesy and caramely, and oh my god, the best cheese puff.
Did you
want
to talk about your other purchase from earlier today across the street?
Oh yeah, and I purchased, hopefully my husband won't be mad but at the money I spent, but I went across the street to Fantasy Costumes and I purchased a Hit Girl costume because, like, kind of my favorite fanish thing, even though I've only watched it twice, my favorite fanish thing is probably Kick-Ass, and my favorite thing from Kick-Ass is Hit Girl. And if you haven't seen Kick-Ass, then go see Kick-Ass, because
yes,
it's amazing. And Hit Girl is, like, the best thing ever. So I got an adult-size costume of Hit Girl that just barely fits me. And problem is that it really will only fit me for another 2 weeks at the most. So I may not get a chance to wear it anywhere until after I give birth. Other things that we have done is I went to Chicago Comic Con, aka Wizard World, for a Friday evening, and I saw Nicholas Brendon, who plays Xander on Buffy, and his identical twin brother Kelly Donovan. I saw them do a panel, and that was kind of cool because it was someone from Buffy I hadn't seen. There's still plenty of people from Buffy I haven't seen, but actually he's probably the first. Well, I actually saw Anthony Stewart Head at a Rocky convention in 2000, long before I was watching Buffy. But so other than that, you know, this is only like one of the major characters that I've seen in person that I can think of. And I asked him a question. I was going to ask him his opinion of the Buffy reboot that Fox is doing, but the person right before me in line asked that, so I just had to go to my backup question and ask them why they have different last names, which is because I guess neither of them are using their, they're both going like by their middle names as their last names or something. I can't remember how that worked, but they're not using their, neither of them are using their real names, I guess. Because Kelly Donovan was in that episode where Xander has, like, a split personality, and there's two Xanders, which was actually, like, the first episode of Buffy I ever saw. And other than that, I walked around the awesome dealer's room. It's my favorite dealer's room of any convention ever in the history of the planet Earth, and that includes, you know, Dragon Con and Gen Con and San Diego Comic Con. My favorite dealer's room is definitely Wizard World, and I made a couple purchases there, including the shirt I'm wearing now, which has been discussed before, but now I'm actually wearing it. It's Care Bears with rainbow gender tummies, and what does it say?
Shake your bear behind.
Shake your bear behind. Get it? So, and some Pocky, and I bought some a pink zombie cupcake art, and so that was, and then the next day, me and Josh went over to Matt Doohan's house where Rob Balder and some other friends were, and we played a really fun game that's usually known as Boob Tree. Oh, Ken was there too, and I think they might be changing it to Penis Hat, but the name has nothing to do with the game, really. Well, the name does not describe the game. It's basically telephone and Pictionary together. So where you, the first person says a phrase, like one of my first phrase was, smoke me a kipper, I'll be back for breakfast. And you pass it to the person to your left, and they draw a picture based on that phrase. And then they pass the picture to their left, and that person who doesn't get to see the original phrase, they have to make a phrase based on the picture, and so on and so forth, until you get all the way around the table and see what became of your original phrase. Unfortunately, I don't remember exactly what it was, just something about fish, but it's a really good time. One of my other phrase was a... happiness is touching a black cat, a white cat, and a penis owner at the same time, which was based on, I told you this already. Don't give me that face.
No, I've never heard that phrase before. Is that from something,
or did
somebody
just make
it up?
You can put any phrase you want. I made it up.
Okay.
because to me, happiness is touching a white cat, a black cat, and my husband at the same time. Like, whenever, like, you know, because Buffy and Willow kind of hate each other, so the rare instances where I'm sitting by Josh and they're both close enough to me where I can touch them both, and then I'm like, Josh, quick, touch my shoulder. Okay, you know, we achieved it. Yay! And it's like, you know, I'm always happiest when I'm touching my whole family at the same time. But I threw in penis owner instead of husband so that it'd be more chances for, you know, jokes to happen. Or, okay. Like, silly, funny,
yes.
Naughty things. So
naughty bits.
So, you know, not all the way around, but at some point that phrase turned into, instead of happiness is touching a black cat, a white cat, and a penis owner at the same time, that phrase became, I am unhappy when cats are cold. that game literally cracks me up, just about more than anything on earth cracks me up.
Awesome.
And someday Luke's got to be there when we're playing that game. I'm not sure if his drawing skills would improve the game or make it not as fun, because it would
help for like one step in the process, but you know, if everybody else can't draw, then it's not going to help too far.
No, nobody else can draw, but the point isn't to get the same phrase back. The point is just, you know, to laugh your ass off at everything that happens on the way to, you know, from your original phrase to the final phrase. It's not really like an objective where, well, unless you're Rob Balder. Rob Balder was trying really hard.
Yeah, but the point is to try, because the humor is in the trying and the failing. If you're not trying, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but Josh Josh goes for the laughs. Every time things went through Josh or Ken, they just completely fell apart. Because Josh is going for the laughs, and Ken didn't. You know,
it would be,
can't draw, and B, you know, didn't get a lot of what Rob was passing him.
It would be an interesting experiment to have two teams where you handpick the five best artists and the five worst artists, or however many people, so that you could, like, you know, try to see how the difference in gameplay between people who can draw and people who completely can't, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so,
I mean, there was one person there who kind of could draw, but, you know, it's still, you know, you're still trying to take a completely random phrase and turn it into something that, you know, someone else can interpret and bring you back the exact same phrase, and pretty much no matter how well you draw, it's usually not going to work. Drunk as a skunk, that phrase did pretty well for a while. Until it got to Josh and Ken, I think, but...
So, that same weekend, Sarah and I went to St. Louis to visit her brother in the hospital, and the very long, horrible story short is that he was in a motorcycle accident, and he is still in the hospital in recovery. He had three surgeries in 2 days. Like I said, I'll cut the details, but he's there, he's improving.
It's very serious.
It's very serious. It's going to be a very long time before he can, you know, walk again.
And not that it would matter, but that is her only sibling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that kind of makes it a little rougher, even.
So, you know, so it's a bad situation, but, you know, it was nice to see her family because they're a wonderful family. And Gerald and Barb kept referring to,
that's his parents-in-law.
Sarah and Kurt's parents are Barb and Gerald, or Gerald. I keep forgetting if it's Gerald or Gerald.
Well, I think it's Gerald because no one calls it Gerald, so it must be Gerald.
Well, anyway.
I don't know. Maybe it is Gerald. Well, that's Sarah.
See, that's the thing. I knew somebody in comedy sports in the back in the day whose name was that and was spelled that way and pronounced it Gerald.
Well, most people pronounce it Gerald. So
okay.
That's why I'm guessing Gerald, because where else would you get that?
I don't know.
You know.
I'll double check with Sarah.
I've never heard it pronounced.
Sometimes my brain, you know, misfires. Anyway, we're completely getting away from the point. So Barb and Gerald kept referring to the curb people, and we didn't know what they were talking about, and they tried to describe it, and then once I got there, it became fully clear what they were talking about. So this hospital is like the biggest hospital in St. Louis, probably in the Midwest. And because it's a hospital, they have all these rules against smoking. And one of the rules is it's not just a matter of you have to go outside the building to smoke. It's that you have to go outside the building and cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even park. You can't even smoke in front of the building. You have to cross the street. So there are tons of people in there who are hooked up to IVs and machines and all kinds of stuff with things going out of their arms who are smokers. So they, get up out of their rooms, they unplug whatever those machines are, because some of them are electronic. They unplug them, they grab the cord, and then they get, in their hospital gowns, get in the elevators or whatever, go down to the ground floor, walk outside, walk across the street, and start smoking.
Holy crap.
So we get there, we pull up, and we see people in wheelchairs, people holding up IVs, people with electronic equipment that's unplugged, in their gowns, smoking on the curb across the street. Those are the curb people. I mean, there's lots of normal people there, too, smoking, but it's the curb people. It's like, really? Really? You're obviously in the hospital for some really serious damn reasons.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop smoking for your duration in the hospital. I mean, fine, start smoking again when you leave if it means that much to you. But you couldn't, for the sake of getting your health on the right track, because that's the whole point of why you're here. No, they have to get, so that was kind of amazing to see, smokers be that diligent with their smoking. So,
yeah.
So we spent a lot of the weekend hanging out in the kind of this waiting room near, on the ICU level, because they basically only want two people visiting. People can basically visit virtually 24 hours a day, but they only want two extra people in the room at any given time.
Okay.
So it's kind of like people keep rotating and switching out between, Barb, Gerald, Sarah, me, Marlene, Taylor, Jason, and various other friends and neighbors that stop by to visit. So I spent a lot of time hanging out in that room.
Was his daughter still in the hospital at that time, or did she get out?
Actually, she was out. She had her arm in a sling because she was in a car accident a couple weeks earlier and got her clavicle operated on because apparently her clavicle was tiny and fragile and stuff, but she seems to be recovering okay.
Mm-hmm. She's a tiny gal.
Yeah. So... And I'm not meaning to single these people out, because it's just a jumping off point of like, oh, there's something I haven't talked about on the podcast yet. Sitting there in the waiting room, and a couple of their neighbors were there visiting, and I'm not sure which of them had told these neighbors who I had just met about me, but apparently somebody told them that I was some form of comedian. So I'm sitting there, waiting room, and I can't remember what I was doing at the time. Playing Angry Birds, writing notes in my notebook, reading Entertainment Weekly. I don't know. I was doing something. And then all of a sudden, one of them just turns to me and says, "Oh, so you're a comedian. Tell us some of your jokes."
Oh, really? While you're in the room with Kurt?
Well,
or in the waiting room?
In the waiting room.
Still.
Just to give you the tableau, it's a room full with, chairs. It's kind of cubicled off a bit, so there's, six little areas. In one of the little areas is a woman who has basically camped herself out there because somewhere else in the ICU, her only son is in the ICU, and she basically refuses to leave his side. So she's kind of living in that room. There's lots of other people whose family members are in the ICU hanging out in that room, and then suddenly neighbor...
tell us some jokes.
Tell us some of your stand-up comedy jokes.
Which is tacky to ask a comedian at any time or place.
Because it's like, even if I was that type of stand-up comedian, and I'm not, it's like, that's just like, I just, I'm not the type of person to be like, hey, everybody, pay attention to me here in the, thanks for coming out to the ICU waiting room. Hey, tip your waitstaff. And now, how about that airline food, huh? It's like, no.
That's so stupid.
And so I initially, she's like, tell us some jokes. And I initially kind of politely said, no. And then she's like, oh, come on, why not? Or, and I think somebody else said something. We got distracted for a few minutes. Then she came back too. So, can you do some of your jokes for us, please? And I actually said this to her. I'm like, are you familiar with the program Star Trek Deep Space Nine? And she's like, no. And I'm like, then you're probably not going to understand any of my jokes. And then I proceeded to explain to her briefly and politely what exactly my type of comedy is.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know this is going to shock everybody here. But there are some days and some situations when I'm really not in the mood to explain to a mundane what the hell it is I do.
Yeah.
You know, and that was one of those situations that I kind of forced myself to because I didn't want to seem rude. Totally rude, yeah. And impolite and a total jerk asshole. But it was like, yes, like Weird Al, except geekier. Can I please go back to, you know, distracting myself, you know, waiting for Sarah to come back in the room so that, you know, I can be there to hold her hand and, you know, tell her everything's going to be okay, because that's my job, is tell everyone it's going to be okay guy, you know.
You are good at that.
You know, and so, yeah, I mean, and it's, like I said, this happens, you know, fairly often to fairly every comedian out there. At some point, somebody will just, oh, you're a comedian? Tell us a joke. It's like, oh, you know.
Because like, as if every stand-up comedian has, like, a knock-knock joke or something that they're just holding back. Anyways.
It's like if I walk to you, like, oh, you do data entry here. File these, you know.
I don't do data entry anymore, asshole.
Well, did you do it at some point in your life?
Yes.
Well, then it still applies.
No. Anyways, I think the moral of the story is people are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Hey!
Which is exactly what I leaned over and whispered to Josh last weekend when we saw Captain America for the second time, and again, 92% of the people walked out during the credits.
Oh, man. Did you see the musical number this time?
Yes.
Did you love it?
It was awesome. But even better than that is, you know, the Avengers trailer and, like, me actually being clued into the fact that Joss Whedon wrote and is directing the Avengers.
You know,
I'm assuming that means that he's going to sneak in some, like, powerful, awesome woman in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, he was originally supposed to he was tapped to write the Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah,
and
no, I knew that.
And that didn't happen.
But that didn't occur. Is there still a Wonder Woman movie at all? I don't think so.
I think it got scrapped. They filmed a Wonder Woman pilot, which was completely different, and from what I've heard, was completely retarded.
You know, I mean, you know, with all the 5,000 comic book superhero movies out, God forbid we should have one starring a woman.
There's a direct-to-video animated Wonder Woman movie they made with Nathan Fillion doing the voice of Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
And that's really good. I have that on DVD, so I highly recommend that.
Should we move on to the song break?
Well, yeah, we'll insert a song break here, and then I can tell a little bit of ignorant stories, because I have a few. So, oh, actually, I will play a voicemail right now.
Hey, Luke, this is Ken. This is more of a question to you, not a comment to you and Carrie, but I know you are a fan of the Muppets, and just wanted to know if you've ever heard of the CD Kermit Unpigged. That's it. If you have not heard of that CD and you're interested in finding out more about it, please give me a call. Otherwise, if you have heard it, you've probably got it already. Have a good day. Take care, and we'll talk to you next time I call you. Have a good one. Bye.
And the person who sent that voicemail asked me if I knew about the album called Kermit Unpigged, which is a Muppets album that came out in the 90s. And yes, I happen to own that CD. So I'll play some track from that album right now, and I'll figure out what that will be later. So here is a track from Kermit Unpigged.
Wild thing, bum bum, boom ding, you make my heart sing.
Hey, Kermit, what are you doing?
Oh, hi, Floyd. I'm just playing an unplugged version of Wild Thing on this ukulele here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, Animal wanted to play the drums on this
one. Okay.
Plug in!
Sure. Yikes!
Yeah!
Wild Thing! You make my heart
sing.
You make everything moving. Wild Thing.
Wild Thing.
Wild Thing. I think I love you. But I wanna know for sure. Come on. Hold me tight. I love you.
Wild thing.
What?
Bing.
What?
See, I just wanted to do a nice quiet version. Animal.
Plug in.
Plug
in.
It's recording. I can't remember if I told you about this or not, but I know I didn't record it.
Are we standing on the side of the table for a reason?
Yes, because I needed to remind myself. So, there was at Gen Con, two people walk up to the merch table. One of them is a guy who is obviously partially sighted, and the woman that is with him is somebody who's helping him get around the con.
Okay.
She comes up to the table, and she starts describing what's on my table to him. And she said, everything she said was wrong. It was, she's like, you know, well, there's CDs here. There's Bacon Conspiracy. There's so much stuff. And there's the Unconvention. And I'm just standing there looking at her, and I'm like, wow, you got every one of those wrong.
Maybe she didn't see very well either. I had a short story from Gen Con where there's this one, I had just walked into the dealer's room for the first time, and there's this one really big dude wearing a Green Lantern t-shirt kind of approaching me, and I'm like kind of bracing myself for gamer's funk, and you know, I'm like, oh, he's gonna stink, and he got closer to me and closer to me, and he smelled like vanilla.
Gamer vanilla.
That's so, a potential podcast name.
Yay! So, anyway,
what are we talking about now?
I was gonna, I know we're, normally ignorance comes at the end of the show, maybe, I don't know.
Ignorance is the whole show, come on.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, you're in it.
There's a podcast title, Ignorance is the Whole Show. I went to Key Lime Cove, first time I've been back there in about, you know, 2.5 weeks because of the 2 weekends I was gone. And in the past, okay, there's this, like, merry-go-round with, like, dogs on it that is basically right where my stand is, but it was pushed back far enough that I could still have my stand where I want my stand to be. So in the interim while I was gone, they brought in other stupid little righty things, put them behind the dog thing, and then moved the dog thing forward. So now there is not enough room for my stand to be where my stand has been since I started drawing there.
Okay.
And it's like I try not to take it personally, but because I know they weren't thinking about me when they did that.
Well, wasn't Josie there, though?
Well, apparently, I texted her. Apparently, this must have happened after last weekend. So it kind of bothers me that, you know, that they don't think of me enough to say, like, oh, wait, we shouldn't move this forward because then where will Lukeski go? You know, so I just show up and it's like, oh, now I have to figure out where I'm going to fit. So I actually tried to set my stand up there last night to see if I could fit there in a way that made sense and wasn't retarded and completely blocking the foot traffic, you know, and basically it failed. So the point is, I moved to the bottom side of the staircase next to the DJs, and, you know, they aren't as loud as Almondo is, so it's not as bad. And, you know, it's not as good as where I was, but I can deal with it, especially considering that I had a really good night last night. A bunch of people got a bunch of color artwork, so I made a really decent amount of money for a Friday night out there.
Yeah.
And as a side note, it's funny because Trey, the stilt-walking dude, has, like, all these different costumes. At one point last night, he was dressed up as Gumby, like, fully green kind of Gumby, but a super tall Gumby on stilts, and the DJ's playing some, you know, whatever hip-hop Lady Gaga music or something, and he's on his, he's in his Gumby costume, which fully covers his head, on stilts, like, jumping around and just, like, yelling, like, yeah, Key Lime Cove, woo! Like, trying to get all these kids fired up. It's like, whoa.
You know, you make your job sound kind of like a circus and like you're a carny.
Pretty much, yeah. So, on to the regular type of ignorant stories. A woman comes up and looks through my new body book, which has 200 different types of bodies, and she looks at the sign and it says, oh, about bodies and backgrounds. So she's flipping through the book and she keeps asking, like, where are the backgrounds? And she's, like, kind of pissed off. Looking through the book, it's like, well, there's bodies in here. Where are the backgrounds? And I just didn't have a way to, like, quickly and politely tell her, I make up the backgrounds based on what body you pick. You know, it's like, what am I? Do I have to have a whole separate book of 200 different backgrounds to choose from? It's like, what the hell? So I thought that was odd.
Uh-huh.
Another thing is, I start drawing. There's this family of four of some kind. I start drawing the first one, and it's like one of the two mothers. It appeared to be two mothers and two children, and I don't know which went with which. But I start drawing the one mother, and she immediately, as I start drawing, puts her hand up to her chin, like fist to chin.
Uh-huh.
And I was
resting her,
like,
head on her hand, on her fist.
And I couldn't tell if it was really resting, or if she was just doing that to be all poser-like, or if she's like, oh, if I put my fist here, then he won't draw me with a double chin or something.
So you had no idea why she was doing that.
Yeah, I had no idea why she was doing that, and I drew her, and I did not draw her hand there, because it's not part of it. It makes my job more difficult. It doesn't need to be there. It would look stupid.
Yeah.
So I get done. I move on to the second kid. I start drawing the second kid. He puts his hand up to his fist too, or his fist up to his chin too.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like,
school thing or something. Oops.
I finish drawing him. I don't draw the hand. Go to draw the third girl. She starts doing the same thing, and before I even start drawing, I'm like, by the way, I'm not drawing your hands up at I'm not drawing your fists up by your chin there. I'm just drawing your heads. And they're like, oh, okay, and then they stop. So I'm like, do they think that's some standard caricature thing that they're supposed to put their hands up there? You know, and if that was some kind of inside joke, like they all wanted to be drawn that way, they should have specified that before I started, but
well, what are you
going
to, the typical character, giant head, small body. So what do you do with a giant head and a small, tiny fist underneath it?
Yeah.
Doesn't really make sense.
So I guess that's it. Oh, this is another thing, and this sometimes happens at Key Lime Cove. Sometimes it happens in other areas. But it happened again at this very establishment when I get really uncomfortable. And I'm sure people are doing this just because it's a colloquialism that they grew up with, or that's their thing. When I go anywhere and do anything and somebody refers to me as boss, that really weirds me out. Where it's like, you know,
gay boss.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, what can I do for you? Oh, can I get help? Like, oh, sure, whatever you say, boss. It's like, no, I'm not your boss. I am not the boss of anything or anyone.
I called a cabbie buddy today because he didn't have change for 20, and so I'm like digging through to see what I can get him that isn't a 20, and I'm like, sorry, buddy.
and this is like, you know, total, you know, Caucasian liberal, you know, guilt, but like it's even worse to me when the person saying it is somebody who isn't white. It's like, you know, when some, you know, like, you know, whatever you say, boss, it's like, no, I'm not your boss. you know that song from Malcolm in the Middle, you know, you're not the boss of me, that's me they're talking about. I'm not the boss of anybody. I'm not your boss. I'm not anybody's boss.
White liberal guilt, that is a thing, isn't it?
Yes,
I never
it
really thought about it.
There was a, this is a random thing. I once, back in the days when the overall concept of offensiveness in general was a big thing during the mid-90s. Like right when the Body Count album came out, when Dan Quayle was vice president, it's like I was like in that perfect adolescent age, you know, as a you know, up-and-coming comedian maturing to, you know, that me and my friends were dabbling and experimenting in offensiveness in general, you know, as a concept for Ray TV and such. So it's like, I was at a CD recycle store or whatever, and I saw a comedy album titled This Is Offensive. And I bought the CD.
Based on the title.
Well, I looked at the track titles, and it was a compilation album. So there was like one song that I saw on there that I remembered seeing on an episode of The Brothers Grunt from MTV. Hey, TV's Kyle and nobody else. Remember the show The Brothers Grunt on MTV? Actually, Jared Ringgold might remember that. He's hip. I don't know.
He's not as old as you. Jared Ringgold.
You were thinking Jared Perez?
Yeah. Okay. No, Jared Ringgold is your age, I think.
Yeah. But there was a show called The Brothers Grunt on MTV. It was a cartoon, and they were trying to, like, put music videos, like, into the cartoon part because it was, like, around the same time as Beavis and Butthead. They were trying to create another Beavis and Butthead-like show.
Really?
About these weird, almost zombie-like, freakish characters who are all named after guys in the Rat Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was a song, there was a video on one of those Brothers Grunt episodes called I Wanna Be a Marine, some weird rap song, and that was one of the tracks on there. So seeing that and looking at the titles and saying this is offensive, it's like, oh, this is probably a really good album. And I bought it, and I think it was one of those situations where I was initially in denial about how bad the album was, but
it was really bad.
It was a pretty bad album. There was a song, but the reason why I remembered it just now is because there was a song on there called, like, the Caucasian Guilt Blues or something like that.
Yeah.
There was a song on there called No Safe Sex Allowed. There was, I'm trying to remember what some of the other songs were, but yeah, I think I eventually ended up going back to that or another CD exchange store and just trying to trade it in for something else because it wasn't good. But some of those songs ended up on a mixtape or two.
Yeah. By the way, when you're done, I thought of something I forgot to mention in the, you know, what I've been up to lately section.
Okay. What was I talking about before? I think I kind
boot.
Of...
I don't know what you were talking about.
I think I kind of wrapped up my overall points.
Suddenly become Canadian.
Although I realized recently that I had a friend growing up named Jared who spelled his name J-A-R-A-D. And then there's Jared Ringgold, who's J-A-R-E-D. And then there's Jared Perez, which is J-E-R-E-D.
Yeah, for some reason I can get their spelling really easily. And you, and particularly Ken, always struggle with their spelling. For me, it's easy because Jared Ringgold is A-J-E-I... Oh, in his name, in his full name, A-E-I-O.
Wow,
and in Jared Perez, it's all E's, E-E-E-E. It's to me, it's extremely simple to remember the difference in their spellings.
Well, see, I grew up thinking that J-A-R-A-D was the correct way to spell it, and then I found out that that's kind
of
an anomaly.
Most people don't spell it. Yeah, I've never heard of that, I don't think.
Anyway. So what was the thing you wanted to talk about just now? Something you've been up to recently?
I had my first ultrasound on Thursday.
I haven't looked at that YouTube link yet.
Well, It doesn't. You really don't see anything there any more than you do in the photo I sent you. You kind of had to be there. My pictures were taken because, oh shit, Josh isn't here. You know, he's gonna want to see something, and they weren't doing printouts. It was just a little portable one, so they let me take out my camera phone and take a picture and a video, which was really cool since there was a sign specifically on the wall saying do not use of cameras and videos are not allowed, and they're the ones who suggested that I do that. I met my brand new providers, and they're really cool, and I'm pretty sure my doctor, my new baby doctor is Wiccan, because she looks Wiccan. it was really weird, you know. I mean, when you live 33 years of your, you know, life without anyone taking up residence inside of you, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, there it is. It's a little floating astronaut. It was like bopping around all hyperactive with little hands sticking up in the air, and it was just like, it was cool as hell. And no, it's too early to know the gender, but it was just cool as hell to see that. But I also said it was creepy too, because it's just weird, you know. I mean, it's gonna be weird to get used to. I still have almost 7 months left of this pregnancy, so I got a long time to get used to it. But I think the more exciting part is after the pregnancy. So.
Yes.
So I'm sure you'll get to hear me talk about annoying pregnancy things a lot for. I'm hoping you do anyways for the next several months.
Well,
we just realized today that we're going on our 2-year anniversary
early
than
October.
2 months.
Yeah.
August, September. Yeah, less than 2 months.
And something else that I wanted to at least tease or mention or whatever is the fact that I'm probably going to wait until the beginning of October to do this. But since I have a new album out, I need to redo the Lukeski Top 50, which I haven't redone in 2 years. Actually,
yeah.
I think it was episode like 3 or something when we were over at Matt's house when we discussed the results of the last one. So
oh, yeah.
I want to give enough time for people to have
vote for
purchased.
Grease Wars.
Well, yeah, because, you know, basically number one keeps going back and forth between Grease Wars and Stealing Like a Hobbit. So
Grease Wars.
So, yes, you have every right to vote for Grease Wars. And you also have every right to vote for songs that are on the new album, Be Amused By Me.
If you love me, you'll choose Grease Wars over Stealing Like a Hobbit. Or you can choose both.
Yes.
It's one of those clicky things where you can... But if you're really only going to click one of the two, you really got to click Grease
Wars. The way the thing will work when it comes is that I'll have, the songs broken down by album. And then basically if it's a song that you consider to be a personal favorite of yours, you click on it.
Yeah.
And you can essentially vote for as many songs as you want, but you only get to vote for each song once.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cumulatively add up all of those clicks to determine, you know, what the top 50 is.
I'm going to like do a Facebook campaign to just put everybody that I know to just go there and click on Grease Wars.
So anyway, the reason why I'm waiting until October instead of doing it now is because I want to give people enough time to have picked up the album and hear the other songs on it.
Yes.
Because there's Walking Silly, which was just posted at the FUMP 2 weeks ago. There's another song that'll get posted on the FUMP 2 weeks from now. And then there's the two other songs that will, for the time being, be, you know, album-only cuts.
Yes.
So I'm hoping people will go, you know, pick up the album on CD or MP3, or if they really can't afford it, you know, to get the whole album, you know, go to Lukeski.com and, you know, buy those two other tracks for 99 cents each, you know, so they can hear them. Or, you know, they can listen to the Mad Music Dementia Top 20, because at least one of them has made the Mad Music Dementia Top 20 for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So
I saw Sneaking Snacks in the Cinema was like number 10 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, that keeps showing up every week because it's still popular.
Because it's the best song of the year.
Thor's big silver hammer keeps showing up from time to time, too. So
that is pleasing. It's been a while since I voted on that. I don't know if I should say this because it might not happen, but there's a chance that I will put out my next album in October at Con on the Cob, because I was planning to put out my next album at MarsCon, but I'm not going to MarsCon, and I'm probably not going to go to PenguinCon either. I'm definitely not going to MarsCon, so, you know, I was just thinking, well, if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? And we have there's a good, you know, chunk of material that I've released since Giant Kitten. So
Carrie mentions to me, I forgot if it was in a text or whatever.
Yes, like, oh, in a text thinking, message.
I'm thinking of putting out my new album
at Con the Cob.
And within about
30 minutes later, there's this long email from Luke where he's doing all this detailed, organized OCD stuff about, well, listen, here's the songs that you already have out that you put out under your name. Here's the ones that you've helped other artists with. Here's the lengths of the tracks. Here's how long they are together. Here's how long Happy Ranch was. Here's how long Giant Kitten was. This is how Luke's mind works.
Well,
Luke's mind works.
I assume you want to create a product that is comparable to your first two albums. So
yes,
I just
it was within 30 minutes. That's what was funny. That was like, you know, 30 minutes later, giant email.
Well, it wasn't a giant email. It was just a detailed email. It was just like, you know.
It's giant. You don't know. You don't understand what a giant email is. Because by the time your emails officially reach giant status, nobody reads the whole thing.
Yeah. Anyway.
But, you know, yeah, we'll see. I know I will utilize Luke's help. And if I do this, I really want to get it up on sale in an MP3 format too, because I'm a giant hypocrite if I only sell physical CDs, yet I don't want to buy any physical CDs and I only want digital media.
Well, Devo is trying to set that up at the FUMP.
Yeah, I know. So. He mentioned a way that I could do it. Might take longer for me to get my older albums up there, but I should, you know, if I'm going to put out a new one,
or you could ask me to do the work and then I'll do it. Because that's what I do.
I'll give you $20.
Okay.
All right. It's a deal.
Like a boss.
Okay, boss.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I wanted to mention the official chain of I Was a Teenage Comedian comic reader thingy, whatever. I don't have a name for it. Basically, the comics that I was talking about back in episode 43 from, you know, the mid-90s, or actually 89 is when the first one started, so 89 to 96. Josh read them first. So
yes.
Josh has read them. I asked him to type up some comments and questions having to deal with them. Like so that he could remember them for later.
It's a comment.
It's Josh Racy. And I passed them along to the first person in the address chain, which is TV's Kyle. So he has them. He's apparently already read the first one.
It would have made more sense to get anyone local, or did no one else local express interest?
Well, the so far the list contained TV's Kyle, Breakman Z, Sean Ennis, who lives in Canada, and Blasted Bill. So,
okay. All right.
So basically,
I figured Ken would be interested, that he probably just didn't remember to tell you that.
Well, my idea was to, you know, I gave them the instructions when I sent the comics along, you know, that, you know, when you read these, you know, if you have any thoughts on questions or comments, write them down somewhere or type them up somewhere and save them so that, you know, because at some point, once everybody's gotten to read them, I would like to do like a Skype recording session with the people so that we can talk about it in general as a segment
too.
For the podcast. Well,
it's been years though.
Well, maybe when I get them back after Billy, you can reread them or something.
I can't listen to you continuously say the chunk of words, questions, and comments.
Okay, let's. It's a question.
It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment.
Okay.
It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment. I can't not do that. I've been doing it all day.
It's from the Nerdist podcast. The Nerdist podcast. The guys there decided to create a forum for people to ask comments. Or ask questions or leave comments, and they ended up
calling it Quimmins. And then they have a song for it, and they only do it on their episodes where they don't have a special guest. The hostful episodes.
Yes. We now pause for merchandising.
Yay!
Actually, let's go. No, let's. Do we have more to talk about, or should we just go to News of the Stupid and then record
News
more in
the
car?
News of the Stupid.
All right, now time for News of the Stupid after a song. Like
okay.
A boss.
Mr. Sandberg, thanks for coming to your performance review.
No problem.
So you're in charge around here, is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I'm the boss.
Okay, so take us through a day in the life of the boss.
Well, the first thing I do is...
Dr. Corporate! Approve memos! Lead a workshop! Remember birthdays! Direct workflow! My own bathroom! Micromanage! Promote synergy! Hit on Deborah! Get rejected! Swallow sadness! Send some faxes! Call a sex line! Cry deeply! Demand a refund! Eat a bagel! Harassment lawsuit! No promotion! Fifth of vodka! Shit on Deborah's desk! Buy a gun! In my mouth!
Oh fuck me, I can't fucking do it! Shit!
Pussy out! Puke on Deborah's desk! Jump out the window! Suck a dude's dick! Score some coke! Crash my car! Suck my own dick! Eat some chicken strips! Chop my balls off! Black out in the sewer! Meet a giant fish! Fuck his brains out! Turn into a jet! Bomb the Russians! Crash into the sun! Now I'm dead!
Uh-huh. So that's an average day for you then?
No doubt.
You chop your balls off and die?
Hell yeah.
And I think at one point there you said something about sucking your own dick?
Nope.
Actually, I'm pretty sure you did.
Nah, that ain't me.
Okay, well, this has been eye-opening for me.
I'm the boss.
Yeah, no, I got that. You said it about 400 times.
I'm the boss.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm the boss.
No, I heard you. See you later.
Like a boss.
And now it's time for...
By Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com, reported by the internet from all over the world, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me to incriminate.
It's a pretty basic understanding that if you have a job but you don't show up for it, you will get fired from that job. Apparently, this information wasn't known by the mayor of Sodaville, Oregon. The Albany Democrat Herald reports that Sodaville replaced 35-year-old Mayor Brady Harrington with the city council's president. Harrington missed council meetings in June and July, along with skipping three budget meetings. The new mayor, Nick Hynek, says Harrington, who was elected to his second term as mayor in November, was occupied as a firefighter and student, but would not commit to returning to meetings when council members reached him by phone this week. However, Harrington declined to resign. Harrington has spent the last week putting his mayoral sashes and giant ribbon-cutting scissors on eBay, and has put out a Craigslist ad for his freelance handshaking and baby-kissing services.
In Long Beach, New York, a 61-year-old New York man says he lost his job as a lifeguard when he refused to wear skimpy swim trunks for the annual swim test. Roy Lester told the New York Daily News he was forced out of the job after 40 years in 2007 when he wanted to take the swim test in biking shorts instead of the tiny swim trunks. He filed a lawsuit against the State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation in 2009. The lawsuit had been dismissed, but was reinstated by an appeals court last week. Lester is a triathlete, but says no one his age should be wearing tiny trunks. He says the bathing suit requirement was aimed at getting rid of older lifeguards. State officials declined to comment. We here at News of the Stupid wish Lester good luck in his case against the Speedo recovery.
Most real estate agents, when they are trying to sell a building, try to emphasize the positive aspects of the property and avoid bringing up any skeletons in the closet a place may have. Well, in Sweden, they are doing just the opposite. Where a real estate agent has an unusual piece of property up for sale, a 5-bedroom house complete with medieval tomb and skeleton in the cellar. The starting price for the house is $640,000. The central Visby townhouse on the Baltic Sea island of Gotland was built in 1750 on the foundations of a Russian church. The kitchen lies on the presbytery, and the tomb containing the skeleton, visible through a glass panel, is in the cellar. The real estate agency's owner, Leif Bertwig, says there is no reason to be afraid of the skeleton, as it lies in consecrated soil and rests in peace. Bertwig said Wednesday the remains likely belonged to a Russian man who died some 800 years ago. Our research indicates that it is actually an accoutrement they picked up at IKEA, an item listed as Boni Schoolman, which are on sale this week for $1.87 each.
And finally, in Louisville, Kentucky, police have decided to give their officers an upgrade by hooking them up with new computers to give them instant access to their precinct's database directly from the back of their horse. Yes, the Louisville Mounted Police are literally having terminals mounted to their stallions. The computers, known as mobile data terminals, each worth about $3,300, are fastened to the breast collars and lie on the horses' backs. The terminals are similar to the kind of computers in police cruisers, but run on batteries, not horsepower. Lieutenant Dan Assef, who oversees the mounted patrol unit, said the computers give horseback officers access to emergency dispatch instead of having to call in for information. Yes, they'll get info on their suspects faster than the Pony Express if they have optimal upload steeds. Hopefully this will keep non-tech-savvy criminals from pulling the trigger. This reminds me of that equine cyborg that OCP tried using in Detroit. You know, Mr. Ed 209?
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed 209. Please put down your weapon. You have 10 seconds to comply, Wilbur.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Wi-Fi Silver, away!
This has been News of the Stupid.
One.
Hey, I just came in here, and I just was wondering.
Oh, super horse!
So, I wanted to mention real quick, something I've realized about myself recently in life, and it's like growing up sometimes, you know, like the kind of thing where like little kids get words wrong, like instead of saying spaghetti, they'll say pischetti or whatever, you know. But then as you grow older and you learn how to spell, it's like those things go away and you start using words correctly. It's like there every so often, well, I guess it's not, I basically found a word that I have been thinking about wrong, or more, it's more like a dual reality thing, like, you know, like the whole super horse thing. It's like, somehow in my own head, I convinced myself that both words were correct, but then recently when I was typing something, probably another News of the Stupid, I typed in the word and it kept coming up as like incorrect spelling, and I kept trying to like Google the word to find out the correct spelling.
I either know what the word is or I have another word to add to your list.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So it's like it took me a while to figure out, and I got reminded of it because it got used earlier, the word emphasize, which is E-M-P-H-A-S-I-Z-E.
Emphasize.
Emphasize, which begins with an E-M-P-H. For the longest time, and even up until recently, for some reason in my head, I thought that the word could also be enthesize.
Ooh.
So instead of E-M-P-H, it is E-N-T-H. So, yeah, that you could you know, emphasize something. Meaning the same thing as emphasize.
it's not a word.
And to a further, you know, thing, because it's, you know, the word emphasis, I thought that enthesis was also a word. And it didn't fully hit my brain until whenever that was, several weeks ago, when I was trying to type up whatever it was I was typing up, and it's like, wait a minute, I've been completely wrong about this word my whole life.
I have another word to add to your list, and then I have the word that I have.
Okay, what's the other word?
The other word that you have a blind spot for is basically.
Well, basically is a word that I use too often, like over and over again, and I throw it in as an. It's like putting the word like into every sentence a bunch of times.
Yeah, but you don't spell it right.
Oh, spelling. It's B-A-S-I-C-A-L-L-Y, right?
Yeah, but you usually spell it B-A-S-I-C-L-Y.
Yeah.
That's how you usually spell it.
I also would misspell the word business wrong a lot because...
Yeah, actually... In a recent episode, Mishki went on a rant against the word basically. So it might help you to, once you, 3 months from now when you get to that episode.
Well, it's like I need to look up which is the episode that you were talking about the other day with me so I can basically start with that week
basically.
And try to get caught up. Yeah. I want to start with that week and get caught up to current so that I can be current with Mishki, and then when I have holes of spare time, you know, I'll keep like a backlog of a week's worth of Mishki from
you know, the period of time I missed so that I can try to get caught up eventually. But anyway.
And then it'll be time to make another best of bed report. And then
yeah, I'm actually going to start listening to the 2011 bad reports. Like, I'll throw, just like with the Mishki thing, I'll throw one episode on my Zen
player.
So
we're going to do the same method as last time?
Yeah, I'm going to gather clips, and then, you know, if the amount of clips I have reaches more than one CD's worth of material, then you and I will have to figure out what stuff stays and goes, you know. But I'm planning
on... I don't get an input unless it's longer than 80 minutes worth.
Well, yes, you will have input. I'm just saying that the first time around, I ended up with 4 hours of material, so I needed to whittle that down to figuring out if it was going to be one CD or two or whatever. So, you know, basically handing that part of the job over to you made things much easier for me. So it's like, okay, you pick what you think is best, and then and then I arranged it down to the two CDs. So
for the record, audience, I tried to make a case for making it a one disc item, but Luke really wanted to make it a two disc item.
Well, there was so much material, and plus it was our inaugural effort. So the next one I intend to make it a one disc thing, and
but
I think that'll be easy.
Back to what we were talking about 5 minutes ago.
Yes,
it wasn't until about 5 years ago, roughly, that I learned how to spell vegetable. I mean, I guess it's not the easiest word to spell, that you have to know that there's an extra E, V-E-G-E, table, but I was always cutting out that second E and was never in there until like 5 years ago. I don't remember what exactly, you know, what exactly made me realize that I had been spelling it wrong my entire life. But, you know.
I spell definitely wrong all the time when I'm typing, and I have to go back and autocorrect it.
Yeah, I always remember that it has a bunch of I's in it, and it, you know, it only has, like, one E at the end.
Yeah, because it's finite.
There's no A's. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes, and that's how I remember how to spell separate, because the word par is in the middle of it, like when you're cooking and you have to par something apart or whatever. Separate.
Sometimes I would have to, like, take words and break them down into, like, you know, phonetical weird things in my own head just to help me remember how the correct way to spell them. Like, you know, immediately is imidiatelli.
For me, what is it? I think convenient. I had it convenient. You know, I think that's one of them for me.
Business is, you know, bus ines. So, if anybody out there has words like that you want to throw into the mix, just leave a comment for us.
It would probably work better as a voice comment.
So, now we're going to play a sketch from the Cirque du Soleil album, Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 1, Grandmother. And this
Grandmother!
Yes. Buffy just looked at you like, what the fuck was that?
Hi, Buffy.
Buffy's sitting over here chilling.
Buffy kitty.
Yeah. So, anyway, this is a sketch that features Carrie. So, hooray!
Tired of all your prayers going unanswered?
God bless Mommy and Daddy, and please strike my sister blind and chop off all her limbs.
Starting to wonder if God is even listening?
Hello? I was just kidding about the blindness and the limb chopping. Really, just kidding. I love my sister. God?
Well, wonder no more, because he's totally not listening. Why? Because you're on the wrong prayer network. Holy Trinity Prayers has the direct line to the Almighty. Want to improve your prayer time? Switch to Holy Trinity today. Our God rewards you with up to 3% of your prayer time back in the form of extended life. Switch now, and for a limited time, we'll waive 2 of the 10 commandments. Been coveting thy neighbor's wife? That's okay! By joining Holy Trinity, you'll get 1,000 anytime prayer minutes, unlimited nights and weekends, and 20 free sins per month.
Check 1, 2, check, testing. Hello, God?
Yep, you're coming in loud and clear. Now, about your sister. Just kidding.
Tired of wafers and wine? Our communion is nachos and Yoo-Hoo.
Body of Christ.
Holy shit, this is tasty.
And who still reads that thick, ancient Bible with drawn-out text and parts that contradict other parts? Our Bible comes in this handy, easy-to-read pamphlet. Plus, us, we're tolerant of homosexuals, bisexuals, transsexuals, metrosexuals, retrosexuals, cobrasexuals, and whatever the hell Prince is. If you're something and you want to marry something else, our God is the God for you.
But my God is a vengeful God. Won't he come after me after I've switched?
Not if you turn on God blocking. And besides, our God can kick your God's ass any day of the week. And forget all those boring Our Father and Hail Mary penances.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I was mad at my sister for breaking my toy truck, so I shot the autistic kid down the street.
Say four Paul Revere's in one, it's tricky.
Here's a little story I'd like to tell about three bad brothers, you know.
Call Holy Trinity Prayers today and get the most out of your prayer time.
Holy Trinity Prayers is not responsible for the content of God's replies and cannot be held liable if God tells you to kill your son, build a boat, or blow yourself up. Offer void in Alabama.
Why?
Do you really even have to ask?
Not really.
Holy Trinity Prayers, because anything else is sacrilegious.
Do you feel me now? Good.
Is it time for what's the...
Yes.
What's Luke plugging now? Yeah. What's at the thump? What's at that fump?
I'm a Buffy kitty.
Right now at the fump, you can go and download for free Elevator by Cirque du Soleil.
Best sketch ever, yay!
My Pal the Murray by Steve Goody, which is awesome. Burt's No Good by Robert Lund and Spaff.com. Ode to Crayola by Lemon Demon. Dirty Diaper by Morning Sidekick. What's that? Dirty Diapers?
It's a parody of...
No, what's a dirty diaper? I've never had to change one.
Oh, okay. You'll
My
learn.
Life is going to suck. Walking Silly by The Great Luke Ski featuring Dan of Flat 29. Feed the Children by Positude and Staying Fat by Cirque du Soleil.
Featuring Gary Dalby.
Yay.
Hooray.
And here's a piece of paperback.
Oh, okay. Other things to promote. 26 and a half, the Weird Al Tribute album. You can get that at weirdaltribute.com, just like my father-in-law did. Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil, Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 1, Grandmother, which you can purchase now.
Grandmother!
Buffy doesn't seem to like that. You can purchase that
I like pissing her off.
Don't piss off Buffy. What did Buffy ever do to you?
She was a bitch yesterday.
She's an adorable kid.
You should have seen her. She, like, totally... She totally ambushed Willow. Willow was lying on the ottoman where Buffy is now. She was more relaxed than Buffy is now. Buffy got on the ottoman and whapped Willow in the stomach and pushed her off the ottoman. Willow wasn't doing anything. And she got in other trouble yesterday.
But I am incredibly cute and cuddly and your best friend.
And now she's right next to the mic. But she, of course, she won't talk. Because that would be interesting to the listeners, and we can't have that.
Aww. And now she's up by your head. I love Mama.
She's going to try to clean my hair, and then she's going to choke. She can only clean Daddy's hair, not Mommy's hair. See? I told you. I told you.
Anyway, Cirque du Soleil, Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 1, Grandmother, at thefump.com. You can get that now because it exists, and you can order it, and then it'll get sent to you.
Lick my hair.
And then Lukeski.com store, you can get my newest album, Be Amused by Me. And if you order now, you can get a cat to lick your hair. and it's at Lukeski.com, Lukeski.com. The Dr. Demento Show, hey, it's awesome. You should listen to it.
I listened to it recently.
Wow. And that's at drdemento.com, drdemento.com. Please do me a big, big, big favor. And if you haven't already done so this week, go to drdemento.com, find the request page, and request the song Snoopy the Dog. It is the most requested song of the year thus far, and I would like it to stay that way so that it will be number one on the Funny 25, making me the first person in Dr. Demento Show history to have three songs hit number one in the Funny 25.
It would also be awfully nice if you go request Sneakin' Snacks into the Cinema by Flat 29, featuring Luke and Carrie.
Yes, that song also made the top 10 in the past year.
Yeah, but I don't know if... I think it was only like number 8, or it's not a shoe-in for the Funny 25s. So I'd like to see it on the Funny 25.
Yes.
And, of course, other things. So.
And yes, also go there and request other songs that you like that are comedic.
And then tour dates, Archon 35, September 30th through October 2nd, Collinsville, Illinois. ArchonSTL.org/35, ArchonSTL.org/35. I'm also doing some stuff in the Chicago area the weekend of September 24th. I need to get the details on that. One of them is an event called Geek Easy, which is being run by this guy named Aaron, who I met at the poetry thing, and it's basically kind of a nerdy dance party with movie riffing. Nostalgia Critic will be there, and me and Nostalgia Critic
will be... Ooh, I've heard of Nostalgia Critic.
Me and Nostalgia Critic will be riffing on the Masters of the Universe live-action movie.
Okay.
And then after that, I'll be doing a performance of some kind for, like, a half hour or so. So you can come to that. So go to Facebook and type in the word Geek Easy, all as one word, and you'll find the Facebook page for that.
And I might be there if I'm not too pregnant to move.
It's September 24th. It starts at 10 p.m. and goes till 3 a.m. for the whole event. So.
Oh, well, I probably won't be there then.
And there's another event happening that weekend in the Chicago area. I need to work out the details of that as well. But anyway, that's for another day. That also is the weekend of me and Sarah's first anniversary, which is Sunday the 25th. So I need to get off my ass and plan something romantical. So the other day you were wearing your pink Bears shirt, and now you're wearing something else.
It's a pink Fruity Odie Bars shirt.
Yay, Fruity Odie Bars. They make a man out of a mouse.
They also make you bust out of your blouse.
Which could happen because you're pregnant and, you know, you will have milk. Well, am I wrong? I may be horribly crass, but I'm not wrong.
I don't know. Some women have trouble lactating. I could be one of those women. You don't know.
Well, we'll find out. Okay. So I wanted to tell another true tale of ignorance caricature-related story. And normally I don't like to tell stories about the private party gigs I do, but to be honest, I kind of don't care if I ever get booked from this party again because of multiple reasons. Generally speaking, they were nice people. I got paid money. I was only supposed to draw for an hour. They asked me to stick around for a second hour, so I made an extra $100 off of the gig. So there were a lot of positive aspects to it. But it was out in farm country on the other side of Rockford, and there were flies everywhere.
Ugh.
And other insects. And, like, I was at this picnic table drawing, and at any given moment I could stop and, like, look up on the table itself, and there would be literally, like, at least 2 dozen flies just sitting on the table.
So you drew a little picture of kamikaze fly in every caricature.
It would have been tempting, but I was just trying to, like, do the artwork as quickly as I could so I could get out of there. So... And the flies were continually landing on me while I'm trying to draw. So I'm in a hurry trying to draw, you know, and every 2 or 3 seconds I have to brush a fly off of some part of my body because it's just too creepy.
Why didn't you
and
just
distracting.
Let them sit on you.
Because it weirds me out, you know.
You're so metrosexual.
Well, no, it's just... It's just like, you know, I'm trying to concentrate on drawing and all of a sudden here's a thing crawling on my arm and it's like, don't be on my arm, I'm trying to draw. You know? So, there was that aspect of it. And here's the other thing, and it's kind of like, I can't really... If someone's going to hire me for a party, and this is what they decide to do, I kind of don't have an official problem with it. I just kind of feel like you should not make me aware that that's the situation. I would prefer to be ignorant to it, you know, as long as I get paid, I don't care. But basically... I show up, and it's this birthday party for, like, a 2-year-old, but there's, like, lots of families and kids and stuff around it. So I start drawing, and the first person I go to draw, I go to sit down, and the woman goes, "So we pay you then?" And I'm like, "No, I'm just drawing for free." She's like, "Oh, okay," and she sits down, and I start drawing. And then a couple other drawings later, I overhear one of the kids say, "Well, no, I paid to get a color one," or something to that effect. I'm like, what the hell is she talking about? And then as the party progresses, I figure out the woman who's running the party, who hired me, has told everyone who was invited to the party that basically, you know, they had to pay her for the caricatures they were getting by me.
What?
So she was using the money she was getting from them to pay me. So I don't know what prices she had told them, like, each of my individual caricatures would cost, if she was going by what I have at my website or if she made up her own prices or whatever. But, I was just trying to get through the first hour, hoping that by the time I left, she would give me an amount of money that I was supposed to be paid for my $100 an hour plus gas expenses, you know.
Wow, that's bullshit.
So I got to, like, 10 minutes before I was supposed to leave, these three people sit down, like mom, dad, and a kid, and they're like, can you do the three of us in color? And then I look at my clock on my phone there, and I say, well, that's going to take me about 27 minutes to draw in color, and I only got 10 minutes left on the clock. And then the woman says, oh, well, you know, you can stay here longer. We'll pay you for another hour or whatever she said. I'm like, oh, okay, well, in that case, yes, I can draw that. So I continue to draw it and blah, blah, blah. So I got to the end of the 2 hours. And as it got towards the end, it kind of seemed like all the people who officially wanted caricatures of themselves or whatever had run out. So then she's like, the main kid, I forgot the kid's name, it was kind of a strange name, the 2-year-old boy,
mm-hmm.
She's like, well, can you, draw him and the mom together, then draw him in full color as Kung Fu Panda. It's like, okay, fine, no problem. And then it's like, oh, can you just draw a caricature of, like, Head and Shoulders, the name just black and white? And by that point, the kid had, like, been taken away by some other person. So she's like, oh, can you just draw it off of the other caricatures? I'm like, okay, sure, I guess so. So it's like, I draw that, and then she's like, and then as I'm drawing that, she comes up to me, oh, could you do, like, 2 more of those? And I'm like, sure, I guess so. So
you're still on the clock, right?
Because I'm still on the clock. So I do, like, I do the 2 more. She's like, yeah, just keep drawing as many of those as you can until, your time is up. And then it gets to be 4 minutes to when I'm supposed to leave. And then she says, oh, can you draw him? And, like, points to some old guy, I'm assuming it's her father, who is, like, sitting, like, to my 9 o'clock on my left-hand side. So obviously he's not going to come over and sit down in front of me. So I just had to kind of turn myself sideways. I'm like, all right, fine, black and white drawing, got that done, had like 1 minute left to spare. And then I guess she had counted up the other caricatures of the boy that I did. She's like, oh, can you draw just 1 more? I mean, I'll pay you like an extra $10 or something for it. I'm like, sure, whatever. So I did like 1 more. And she was like, yeah, I just, I didn't think ahead of giving people party favors from the party. And I'm thinking,
isn't that what their caricatures are? They have to get a bunch of extra caricatures.
So it's like, apparently there were people at the party who wanted a caricature to take home as a party favor, but were too, for whatever reason, self-conscious or whatever. They didn't want a drawing of themselves. They wanted a drawing of the boy. But, I just kind of got to the point where I wasn't even looking at the other caricature. I was just kind of drawing him from memory as if he was like some new cartoon character. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, it's like... another. So it's like, yeah, I got done with that party, and
seriously, you and Adam of Ookla should get together and write a book.
That's a pretty darn good idea. Have you heard that Adam and Rand are working on finishing up their albums? Like, there's been like
I've been hearing that for a couple of years.
Well,
so
I mean, like,
it's kind of like I'll believe it when
Ookla,
I see it.
Ookla has a Facebook page, and they've been mentioning things about getting together and recording, and so they're actually working on it, supposedly.
Okay.
So anyway, so yeah, I just that event happened, and so it's like, if you want to try to game the system so that you don't have to pay for me as a caricature artist by getting your guests to buy the caricatures, either at the party or ahead of time, it's like, fine, just keep me in the dark about it. Just I'll show up when I'm supposed to, draw for the amount of time I'm supposed to, and then you give me money at the end. I don't want to have to sit there and try to explain to people, a system that I didn't invent because I don't know what shady deals you're doing. I mean, it makes me wonder if she was trying to do this as a way to make money off of her guests as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, if she charged more than, Yeah.
Yeah,
so
it's just weird.
Anyway.
So
that was that.
Well, this doesn't belong in the ignorance section of the show, but... I figured I'd update a little more of what's happened in my life since we last spoke.
Okay.
On Sunday, I went out to dinner with Jeff Gamblin and his wife, Mercy. I guess he has a hyphenated name now, but I can't remember what it is, so I just call him Jeff Gamblin. He's someone most of you have never heard of, but he's actually one of the background singers in Grease Wars.
Yep.
So, you know, he has his place in the, history of Lukeski fandom for, you know, the Lukeski super fans. And so that was fun. We had a lot of laughs, and I stuffed myself with sweet tomatoes and somehow managed to escape with an okay blood sugar for once. Yesterday nothing happened, and then the day before that nothing happened. And then today I went, sponsored by my work, I went to a CPR/AED certification class for 3 hours, which I'm sure you all know what CPR is. That's cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Yes.
And then AED is a arterial external defibrillator, which is basically, you know, like, it's like the paddles that people, that they shock people with in the movies, only it's not paddles, it's little pads. And from what I've been told, they don't even use those paddles anymore, except for in the movies. They may use little ones on an open heart surgery. They may use tiny little paddles, but the big paddles in the movies don't exist anymore because they use the AEDs things. So since it was free, and every time it comes up, you know, this is like the fifth time I've asked my boss if I could go, and she finally said I could go. Since it's free, you know, and I'm going to be certified, and, you know, I can save lives and stuff. So it was an interesting experience that just, you know, being pregnant and overweight and, you know, not having an adequate pillow for my knees. I wasn't prepared for how physical it was going to be, you know. Mm-hmm. Back when I did it in high school, which you probably did when you were in high school.
Yeah, we had stuff like that in health class at some point.
Annie.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, even though I was as big or bigger then than I am now, still, you know, I was a lot younger and not pregnant, so I think I was in better shape to handle it, and this time it was just, like, absolutely killing me. It was ridiculous. One of the women thought that I was about to pass out. This is so... Saving a life is hard, but I got through it, and I don't think I injured myself, and I'll be certified for 2 years to save your life.
And awesome.
Did the listeners know I was pointing at them just now?
Probably not.
Oh.
But they might have heard the clap and made the Hans and Franz connection.
Comments go at the end of the show.
Yay, comments. So here's some of the comments from the past two episodes and another one from way earlier.
Brett Glass says, they were on the wonk the whole time?
Thank you, Brett. And then Ken, Madman on the Loose, says, by the way, these are for episode 45. After hearing Luke, Carrie, and Ian discuss the number of times I saw Grease Wars performed live, I decided with the help of Live Journal Post to research the number of times I have seen it. I was able to confirm 45 times. I also posted a map of times per state. And then he puts a link there to his blog where it has the image of
the state.
Yeah, so go to episode 45 and read the comments there to see the link to see the picture of the thing. Thank you, Ken. And now on to episode 46.
Comments on episode 46. Number 11 says, nice to see Bad Report back on the nets. Be Amused by Me is excellent. My new favorite Lukeski album.
Hooray. Is it your new favorite Lukeski album?
No.
Okay.
I still like Unconventional the best.
Okay.
I'm biased.
Of course you are. Squirrel Girl says, the news of the stupid about the women who drove into the swamp. Are you sure that was Bellevue, Oregon, and not Bellevue, Washington? There's a lot about...
We don't know our Pacific Northwest geography. We're not going to answer that question.
Well, actually, I will answer that question because to say that Squirrel Girl is most likely right... I
just read the words off the page.
Well, I'm the one who wrote them, so I was the one who was wrong.
Okay.
So, there's a lot about the story that made me think of Washington and a couple that make me think it's unlikely to be Oregon. Sorry, this is me getting hung up on irrelevant details. But yes, Squirrel Girl, you were correct. As far as you're trying to figure out who I am, my name's Teresa in real life. Carrie met me at MarsCon this year. I'm just an anonymous fan who isn't quite as anonymous now that I make comments on your podcast if I think of anything to say.
Now, here's the weird part. I remember meeting a woman named Teresa at MarsCon, except she was supposedly from the Madison area and not the Pacific Northwest. So I either met two women named Teresa at MarsCon that I never met before, or I'm remembering that other woman's name wrong, or something. Or this is the same woman, but I was told, but where Bill said she was from wasn't where she was from. Anyways, Draconis says, grats on the next-gen Fump artist, Carrie. And Luke, hope you remember not to say that about God while podcasting. Later, all.
Thank you, Draconis.
We're not very godly here.
Okay.
At the Bad Rapport. I don't even know what you said, and you probably don't either.
Whatever. God knows where I live. He can come and get me if he's mad at me. Wildcard says, I guess I got the song name wrong in my comment. Oops. That Randy Newman song has to be a bonus track somewhere. And did I hear a clue to the second part of Stupid Cowboy Thing at the very end of the podcast? Actually, that's more of a that's more of a follow-up to Be Amused by Me.
Yeah.
By way of Cirque du Soleil. But yeah. Elizabeth. Oh yeah. Back to you.
Elizabeth says, "Hey, I don't often comment because I don't have anything to say, but I do submit news articles and have not missed a podcast. But I don't listen to any other podcasts. Yay, we're the best and only."
Whee!
Wasn't there another Draconis comment?
I kind of shortened his one because the other stuff was, like, kind of redundant from previous things, so.
Well, I seem to remember him saying that, you know, I don't know, he kind of sounded like he felt a little bad because he's like, well, listen, you asked me to comment, and I just wanted to say, yeah, we did ask you to comment, and I didn't, and I felt like your comments were appropriate, and if we were making fun of how long they were, we were just, you know, ribbing you and,
yes,
and giving you shit because you're our internet friend.
I agree with what she just said. and yeah, I'm sorry if I read those comments very matter-of-factly, but
it was a lot to read.
It was kind of a lot to get through, and I just wanted to kind of be like, all right, let's wrap this puppy up.
Here's the information.
Because, I mean, we did a 4-hour and 20-minute episode on the topic, and now here we basically had like another, I didn't look exactly to see how long it was, but it was at least another 30 minutes of talking.
And we're still talking, you know, about it.
And I just kind of want to put it behind us and move on.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to just mention that, you know, we make fun of people we like.
Yes. So I wanted to I had another short comment that was actually left for episode 4 called Admirable or Sad, You Decide. That was the one we recorded at Matt Doohan's house with Ken and Josh around.
Yeah.
And, when I first got this comment, I thought maybe it was spam, but then I got a CD order or an MP3 order or something.
From this person.
From this person, because the email address seemingly was like a bunch of random letters and numbers, and I was like, oh, okay, that's a spam bot. And then when I got an order from that thing, I'm like, oh, apparently that's not a spam bot.
It's
an actual person.
I don't think you have a very good spam bot radar.
Well, anyway, the person's name is Zach, and Zach says, I'm getting caught up on all of the podcast episodes, and I'm really loving them.
Yay!
So, thank you, Zach. I have no idea if Zach is also listening to the current episodes.
He might hear this in 6 months from now, so, or whenever. So, Zach, if you're listening, comment and let us know when you hear us talk about your comment.
So, there you go. So, if you would like to leave comments, you can do so at badrapport.com, BADRAPPORT.com. You could also leave voicemail messages like that guy whose name is Ken but is not Ken Sherlock did earlier about the Muppets thing by calling 916-LUKESKI. That's 916-585-3754. 916-LUKESKI, 916-585-3754. And you can also leave us an iTunes review, which nobody has done recently, but you can, and then leave us a star rating
of
hopefully 5. So,
if you can, I might let you see my cervix in a, you know, ultrasound image form.
Yes, and we'll do it on the podcast so that everyone can see it. That way it would be a public cervix. And we've let everyone know about it, so this has been your public cervix announcement. It's a womb with a view. I'm very good at puns.
Oh.
You sound like Lawrence Avenue.
I feel like Lawrence Avenue. Big and driven over.
If you have a boy, you should name him first name Lawrence, middle name Avenue.
Yes, that's totally going to happen.
All right, well, this is something else. Well, I guess we don't have
the leading
time for
contenders
it.
For names are Alex for a boy and Julia for a girl, but, you know, we haven't looked that deeply into the name situation because we don't know what we're having yet. And we don't want to waste a lot of time on it like some people get hundreds of names and spend hours and hours agonizing over it. I don't know that I really feel like doing that.
Okay. My brain flash-forwarded ahead to the next time I do the Fumpcast with TV's Kyle. I just remembered something I needed to talk to him about on that.
Okay.
For the Kyle and Luke Talk About Cartoons segment.
Thank you for letting me know where your brain went when you spaced out just now.
Well, I felt it was important. Because, you know, it would be rude of me to space out on what you were talking about and then not tell you what I was thinking about.
Well, you'll listen to it later, or you'll do what I do and ignore the same parts that you ignored before.
I love that one time when we were in the middle of recording the podcast and you weren't paying attention, and I'm like, what the hell? And you're like, I like listening to them later. I'm like, you're on it right now. Pay attention to what's happening now.
Be amused by me.
Basically, yeah. So, the final song I'm going to play is from the new album called The Green Album, which came out this week, which is a album full of cover songs of Muppet-related music. And it's a really interesting album. Just to give it a quick overall review, I mean, I'm happy it exists. It didn't really thrill me as much as I wanted it to, because it's like...
But you apparently got enjoyment out of specific tracks.
Yeah. And the OK Go cover version of the Muppet Show theme...
Oh, yeah, I heard about that video yesterday. I gotta go see that video.
It's like, the song by itself is like, eh, that's all right. But then you see the video, and it's like, oh, well, the video is really awesome. But the song by itself is just kind of like, eh.
Just kind
of
eh.
You know, at least for my taste. I mean, this is the way I look at it. A lot of Muppet music is very upbeat and happy. And then a lot of the modern bands...
Are not.
Are basically not, even if they aren't necessarily trying to be depressing... They just have, like, this way of, like, turning everything into, you know, not upbeat and happy. So to, like...
Yeah.
It just kind of seemed like I would have much rather had a lot more up-tempo tunes that were...
So is it like... Da, na, 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 na.
Well, I don't know. It's a... Well, I do want to point out, one of the tracks on the album was a cover of a song from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, and I'm like, oh shit, they went there, didn't they? That's pretty fucking cool. You know, so it wasn't just like, you know...
It wasn't all the...
It wasn't all of the most standard songs ever. There was a... Someone did a cover of the song Nightlife from Great Muppet Caper, it's the song that the... Electric Mayhem Band plays while they're driving around London in the double-decker bus.
I gotta go back and watch these Muppet movies.
Well, yeah, I want to do a big old episode about the Muppets, you know, just like our Transformers one.
Well, you'll have to give me some time to get... In November? Why November?
That's when the new Muppets movie comes out.
Oh, that's not enough time to get caught up.
I have things. We'll figure it out. Anyway, overall, I'd have to give the album a thumbs up, but, you know, it's not like something I'd say everybody has to own this. And if you look around online, you can find places like NPR where you can hear the entire album for free.
So what's the Scope score, then?
The Scope score is no score, because they wouldn't review an album like this.
they have a star rating. You could give it a star rating.
I'd give it 2.5 stars.
Out of 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
That's pretty low, considering how much you like things.
Well, usually. that's my point, is that I was hoping to like this album more, and I didn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it does have highlights that I did like, and the track I'm going to play, you know, though once again it is kind of done in a wistful manner, I think it was done well. It's a cover of the song that Ralph and Kermit sing together in the Muppet movie called I Hope That Something Better Comes Along.
We've gone on about 10 minutes past the you can leave comments at blah.
Well, whatever. It's our show. We can do whatever we want. So, anyway.
Yeah, so meh.
So the artist in question here is named Matt Nathanson. The album is the Green Album. You know, check out the OK Go video and look for other clips of it online. And if you like it, go pick it up, because the more people buy that album, the more Disney will be willing to let cool Muppet stuff continue to be produced and exist and everything.
Yeah.
You know, more Muppet things equals better life for everyone on the planet, is my attitude.
I still like your idea of making a Funk Muppet album.
Well, that's kind of the...
Or
know,
am I not supposed to talk about that?
No, I've mentioned it before. I went to the FUMP a couple of years ago saying, hey, let's do a big collective tribute album to, you know, the legacy of Jim Henson and the Muppets with all these acts from the FUMP. I wanted to call it the FUMPet Show.
And you got a meh. Maybe if you put it out to everybody and not just the core, maybe then you get an approval. Or an even larger denial.
Well, it's more like certain acts were really down with the idea, and in this day and age of Weird Al tribute albums, and they might be Giants tribute albums, you know, maybe I could get something like that happening, you know, but...
It doesn't have to have the FUMP stamp on it.
No, it does not. But, you know, I think the greater point right now is that I have so many other things in my life I need to... It's like the getting my album done is such a huge, important project that once that's done and, like, the dust has settled and I have to look at the landscape of my life and say, okay, time for me to figure out what to do next. It's like there's other things I need to get done and I need to make a to-do list. I need to get organized. But by the size comparison between those things and getting the album done, those other things seem so small and unimportant. Even though they're not unimportant, they just seem unimportant in comparison to getting the album done. So I never really know what to do or what to work on. I just kind of scramble around and frenetically move from one thing to the next thing as I think of them.
Yeah, you need a new car.
Yeah, well...
Oh my God.
That's a totally different issue. But
yeah.
But basically, I've just yesterday got organized to the point where I was able to make some lists and whittle them down and organize them so I can figure out, okay, here's what I need to work on short-term projects, here's long-term projects, here's a general to-do list, here's song ideas, here's conventions, you know, so I'm trying to get my life organized again post-album so that I can move on to the next batch of things, you know, while also trying to make sure me and you can organize this podcast and keep doing it every 2 weeks so we don't end up with 6 week spans of no episodes because we're both so busy. You know?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I am, like, going to have a baby and stuff, so yeah. We might be a little more sporadic.
Creating life is kind of important in comparison to things.
It's important to me, anyway. I just always wanted to be a mom. I do have the, you know, overpopulation, you know, white liberal guilt thing, but I've always wanted to be a mom.
It's not selfish for you to want to have a baby.
I know. It's if I go into the, you know, multiples that we'd have a problem, I guess.
Well.
If every man and woman couple on Earth had no more than one baby, then we'd be able to definitely help with the overpopulation problem. But I don't know if I could... If I can't get past the guilt to have more than one, I doubt.
That's weird.
Why? I think it was a bumper sticker I saw once.
Just the fact that your choice to not have more than one child is based on you feeling guilty if you had more than one child.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to get uber personal.
I don't really want to...
here at the end of the episode.
I don't really want to have that many more pregnancies anyways. I'm not really enjoying the one I'm having because I'm just like, you know, blimping up like a balloon. I'm not even in my second trimester yet. I've gained twice as much weight as I should have, and I just feel like a big fat whale. And I don't know that I want to feel like this, you know, multiple times in my life.
Well, the overall point is, don't feel guilty for wanting to have a baby. It's something you've wanted to have since I've known you. So
well, I've also always wanted to.
Have a baby and be happy.
I've also always wanted to adopt. So, you know, maybe down the line someday we'll also adopt another child.
Well, that would be cool. Anyway, hey, remember that whole Muppet album I was talking about? Well, we're going to play a song from it. So, once again, leave comments and at badreport.com, messages at 916-LOOP-CITY, 916-585-3754, and stuff. And we'll be back in another couple weeks with another episode. So until next time, Carrie, say something.
Something.
Wow.
I'm glad I've impressed you with my wit.
Yes. So, talk to you all later. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can't live with them, and you can't live without them. There's something irresistible-ish about them. We grin and bear it, cause the nights are long. But I hope that something better comes along. It's no good complaining, it's pointless to holler. If she's a beauty, then she'll get underneath your collar. And she made a monkey out of old King Kong. And then I hope that something better comes along. Ah, but what could be better than a saucy Irish setter when puppy love comes on strong? Or a collie, it's classy. A laddie needs a lassie, a lover and a wife, gives you a new leash on life. Don't mean to scare you, my friend, but I betcha, come Father's Day, the litter bug is gonna get you. The urge is righteous, but the face is wrong. Well, I hope that something better comes along. Still, it's fun when they're fetching and agree to see an etching that you keep at your lily pad. Well, there's no solution, it's part of evolution. The pitter-patter of souls, the little feet of tadpoles. There's no limitation to mixing and matching. Some get an itching for a critter they've been scratching. A skunk was badgered, the results were strong. And I hope that something better, I hope that something better, I hope that something better comes along.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Okay!
Shut up, goddammit!
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
Lieutenant Dan Assef, who oversees the Mounted Patrol Unit, said the computers give horseback officers access to emergency dispatch and the police... Hi, Buffy. Would you like to be on News of the Stupid? Meow! Doesn't count unless you meow. Meow! 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 It's not working. Left off on the word and. Oh, hey.